It's called, there's a class called fellowship. You know, they call them koinonia, is what happens. Yeah, so they, in that matter. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll embark on the study. It's somewhat experimental in that I don't like to do word studies like this because there's so many words. They're fun because you need to know them. And so let's go and tangle with it. Father, you're good to us. We've been blessed. What a joy it is to relate to people of yours. Together we share in common so great salvation. And we're grateful that as we come to your word, we have that book. We're thankful for the respect that we have for it, especially in those realms that are for us and affect our lives. And may we find this word be that which is something we've become very aware of, whereas we may not have been so aware before. We're grateful for the opportunity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now,
Is that all?
That must be all. Well, the irony of this thing was, it should be coming through up here. Oh, just a minute. Oh, boy. We're hooked up. Well, okay, so I'm back on, so we'll hope it continues. I was afraid these bulbs and these, they say, you need to replace them. I have never replaced them. They've lasted for me. Yeah, it's coming. Okay, we may want to slide one of those curtains back there. Fortunately, most of it's not going to be this dark backdrop. I've only got four of them. It was.
Say something about the curtain.
Yeah.
It's quite the speed back. How about those lights? Where's the lights?
Let's see if these curtains will do it. I think I'm getting light here. I don't know if you noticed in Chris's presentation, he suddenly was standing in the light, and I was looking at, and from my angle where I was sitting, he was in a beam of light. And, okay, which is better, to run it otherwise? Okay. Well, we'll be on white backdrop after this. My paper is not on the net yet, so they will be there for those who are watching. Some of them got on, some of them didn't. Mine didn't get turned to PDF because I was too busy at the last minute in that matter. But it was interesting. I gave Tim a copy of my paper and handed it to him, and he said, "Is this everything?"
Are you sure he didn't say, "Is this all of it?"
No, he said everything. And I smiled because I grinned and I pointed to the middle of the cover page. And so, I don't know if you catch a picture of this cover, because I designed it the way I did. You see the arrows all go to a perimeter, and that's designed on purpose because of the concept of all. And so, and if we run out over there, I still have some more. I wanted to make sure I had some out for tomorrow, for those who were coming in tomorrow. But the subject that we're dealing with is the Greek word. Some pronounce it pas, some of do it pass. I like to do it pas because it sounds less like pass in that matter. And so that's my title. It's a Greek word. And so this study is going to have some things. Do not panic. I'm not going to stand on my head to keep you awake in the first half or first part because we're dealing with a little bit of technicality related to this word. I have a couple purposes which I will explain in just a little bit. And the question that I have here, does God really mean all in his word? And it was a few weeks ago, somebody came up to me at church and says, "Does all really mean all?" They had no idea what I was doing for the forum. There are some things when all doesn't mean all. That's what that person was thinking. And so it was kind of fun. I said, well, wait till the forum. And I had to apologize to him because I kind of laughed at him. And I didn't know whether he took it right or not. Because he had no idea. I've been wallowing in all in this matter. So all is a term that is frequently, and I've got some typos early. I didn't know how they slipped by, but I expect a normal amount, but not in the first paragraph. All is a frequently used word in the English language, should be in instead of "n," and so is every. Every and all are two key words, and that's what we're working with PAS. Context determines what it means to say all. We do that in our English language. When somebody says, "Is that all?" What does it mean? You know, you may, and my illustrations are here related to, is that all the money you're going to give me? Is that all the food you have for me? Implying that you'd like more. And is the limit set? It may be temporal, which means it has the idea. Is that all the time on an exam? I didn't put a "the" in front of that. That all the time on an exam. If you have a 55-minute exam and you have that established as a professor, on our seminary, sometimes we're a little bit more lenient than that, but that's, I mean, when it gets to 55 minutes, it's been announced, what happens? Well, not in our school, but in a lot of places. That's it. You don't have any choice. So it's time to turn in the exam, and you are stuck with the questions you didn't get all done in that time. And so we use it in that way. In the Bible, all and every are common words. And both in the Old Testament and New Testament, the subject of this paper is the root "pas." That's the primary focus. There's a related word we'll look at just in passing, which looks weird, and I need to say something about it when we get there. And in the Hebrew Bible, you have the word "kol," which I've got the Hebrew there, has a holom on it, so it's a "kol." If it has pronominal suffixes, it has a "kibbutzki." A kibbutz point. Kibbutz is a vowel in Hebrew. And that occurs with all of you, all of him, or all of it. I mean, that occurs in Hebrew. We'll talk about it. Well, I'll just say it here. It occurs 415 times. 5,415 times in the Hebrew Bible. That's the word that's equivalent there. Now, what I did for you in that, I probably will forget, but maybe not. You have three pages that I just threw in an appendix. That is a page out of Brown, Driver, and Briggs' Hebrew Lexicon, and it is their definition. Three pages, almost completely. And it has all kinds of Hebrew. I know it's going to be confusing, but what I wanted to do with it is this. There are a lot of ways that this word in the Greek as well as in the Hebrew are used. And so we want to take a minute or two to look at that as we go along. And so all or every are very, very normal things in, there we go, the markers. Okay, so all or every. And it's interesting when you look at Scripture. When I announced or I mentioned to some that this was going to be my topic in the forum, I've been ending up with, I must be doing something wrong because the Spirit of God kind of works me over with some of the things I've been doing recently. That is, I'm getting like my brother. He claims he's going to do a hapox next forum. Hapox means it's a word that occurs one time in the New Testament. And that would be easier than doing a word that occurs as many times as what we've been doing them. It would make it a lot easier. And to have to go through 1,243 verses or passages and 13, well, let's see, what is it? I can't remember the other number in how many verses. But to go through all of these was I've got a notebook over there like that of material that was researched for this paper. And looking through all of them, marking them, selecting, so we could use this as an illustration in this matter. Introductory studies. Seems like I do a lot of introductory studies. Priesthood book, that's not an introduction. That long a book, by the way, I have them if you want. The prices are out on the counter, and I have them here. The In Christ book is introductory studies. Introductory studies in the In Christ book are just that. The priesthood book is one part of what's in the In Christ book. That's 600 and some pages, one part of being in Christ. And I'm not sure we could do that many pages on each of the other elements, but we could come close on some of them. In this, so this is a general survey, and what we're doing, we're looking at this 1,243 occurrences. Now, that's a lot of times. But stop and think a moment. When you were reading your Bible last in Grace Revelation, when you were reading it and looking at what it had to say, how many times did you see the word all?
All the time.
There we go. It is literally all the time in that. But did it make a difference? You know, that's the, all and every just tend to be words we just slip over. And so what I'm trying to do is kind of make you aware so that when you read it and you say, I believe in verbal inspiration, and the word all is there and he means all. Because we live in a world that says all isn't all. A lot of times. It's always interesting. The fine print always affects all. And we see it in many, many areas. So this is where we are with this. And so I remember the following statement, at least one similar to it. He gave his all for you. You can do no less than give your all for him. Ever hear anything quite like that? I remember for quite a bit of time. He gave his all so you can give your all. He doesn't want your all. That nasty mess. I mean, we have to be a little careful of what we want to offer him. And I always think it's kind of interesting. One of the other studies of the ones I've been in now almost 2.5 years on these passive voice verbs. I studied that for myself in the summer, and as I worked along in my going through, doing what has been suggested more than once, going through the Bible, just reading and parsing verbs, and looking at passives. And out of it, we have this series. Most of them are on, I think all of them are on the internet if you want to tag them. They're available in audio on VBC Oregon and Bartimaeus websites, as well as the written synopses. They're there. But that I studied it for myself, and I had a little discussion with the Holy Spirit. And I was led to preach it. And I said, no, I don't want to preach it. Because there's so much there, and I'm hoping that the people will understand it. It's hard to talk to somebody and say, you can't do it unless somebody else do it. And we've taught our folk here for many years about some of these things, but I wasn't quite sure whether we were really ready. And we did it. And God is using that to change lives and transform them in many, many ways when they realize that they can't do it. You get out of the way and let God do it, and that makes a difference as we relate to these things. And so what I want you to do is when you see the alls or everys in the text. Okay, I'm just skipped a transparency in my head. Okay, does all mean all? If all isn't all, what is it? It isn't all. Now that sounds like oversimplification, but that's really true. Yes, there are a few, that is very few, exception clauses that go with it. And it's an interesting one because one of the big exceptions is in the upper room where Christ uses an awl. Of the 12, except there was one, and we'll touch that in the fly when we look at the upper room discourse in the matter. So here's what I want you to do. Think about it. Get it in your mind that when you see an awl, you want to look at it and take advantage of it. You know, there's one, and we refer, it's been funny, I've been watching how often things are overlapping. My subject is going to overlap because there's so many awls in Scripture. But you know, how many times have I heard already in our forum a reference to Ephesians 1:3? We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. All. No exceptions. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have it all. It's always interesting. You, whether you do it or not, I'll forgive you. When you sneeze, are you one of those God bless you thing, guy peoples? If somebody sneezes and you say, God bless you. Well, you know what happens when somebody says, God bless me? What do I say? He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Can't beat that. And then if there's somebody that might do it, and I can get it fast enough, yes, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And so it's a reminder, especially when a saint does that to me. It's really good. But I want you to be able to think when you see this. And since I announced it, I've had several say, now I'm seeing more awls. You know, it was like they weren't there before, but now I see more. I mean, I see them. Yeah, that's what happens as we get some of these things in our mind. And this is a small word, but it's not. Because you knock the SM off, it's all. And it's really important as we relate to it. And so that's my goal, is to let you think about it. I'm thinking of somebody who didn't say all, but they were involved in an activity. And that was in Acts chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 5, in the first 10 verses, we have the story in the early church how Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property. Because of the things that were going, and God did not order the early church to hold all things in common, but they did, and they shared consistently in the breaking of the bread, as is noted there. And in Acts 5, they had conspired together to say to the apostles that they had given it all, and they kept back a part. Now, all isn't found in that story. But the fact that they didn't give it all and said they did was a pretty deadly adventure. And you remember what happened there. Ananias came and he brought that money and said, this is all. And Peter said, you're lying against them, to the Holy Spirit. And it was El Zapo. And so he's dead, he's down, and so they have to call him. And normally, in Jewish society, they try, and they have tried historically, to bury the same day. And so young men were taking Ananias down the road to bury him, and they had barely got it past the corner. The Sapphira was coming around, and she shows up, and the same event occurs, and they're burying her husband, and she does the same thing. Same thing happens because she said she'd given all and hadn't. We know the story. I'm glad we don't happen to gnosko it. In that matter, we can say we oida it. In that matter. And so when we think of it, it's always an interesting thing. All is found in many directions. We're going to look at these terms that relate to it. Pos seems kind of easy, but it's not. Because it's not always pos. You have forms that are pan. You know, the ancient Greeks talked about the Pan-American Games. No, that's right. That's not Greek, is it? Pan-Hellenic Games. The Panhellenic Games were a series of games which included the Olympics, of which they were the primary. And on page 2, I have a little bit of a list of those things. But when they said Panhellenic, it meant all Greek games. It's interesting, they haven't done all Greek games for a long, long, long time. But I found out that the game plan is in August of 2015, they're planning on starting the Panhellenic Games again. Now, what is interesting, it's not all Greece. If it was all Greece, they couldn't afford it. How can a bankrupt government afford a Panhellenic Games? They have to get their money from somewhere, so they're bringing in Greek athletes of Greek heritage. They're coming in and they are helping pay for it. And they're planning to do a set of games in August of 2015. And it's kind of interesting when you see that. But they're going to be called again the Panhellenic Games at that time. When you think Pan American, Pan American was an airline, was all American. And that prefix carries in a number of places. We'll talk about some biblical uses of it. And so what we're going to do, and I'm on page 2 under intro, because of the number of occurrences of past and its related form apos, there are a wide variety of possibilities for translation. There are a number of adverbial forms from the root that contribute to important concepts that have a variety of flavors related to time, that is always at all times, and extent or degree, by all means, place everywhere, direction from all sides, and means in every way. While I make mention of the derivatives, the focus of the paper will be on past. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this paper could be at least 5 or 6 papers with the subjects I have set up in this. And it's an introduction, so I can get away with it. If it wasn't an introduction, we would probably not be doing it because there's so much material on it when we look at it. So I've tried to narrow it down to some things that are very important to us. And so I think, and it's important, because we're living in a day where there are people that don't believe that all means all, and the worst part is they wear the title theologian. And there's one particular group of theologian, which are theologians in, what do I want to call it, in Christendom. They are those who say all doesn't mean all. And what these folk are is they believe that Christ only died for elect. So all is redefined as elect. And so you have a lot of issues that come out of their use of all. And so they put limits on all. That's what they call it, limited atonement. Now, you saw what I was doing. You know what this was? That's quotation marks. Atonement is a terrible description of that as far as Scripture and what it says. And so, but they have that doctrine. So if Christ only died for the elect, tough tomatoes for the rest of the people. But Scripture doesn't say that. No, it's not part of the, there's not a Greek word that says tough tomatoes on that. But when we think in these terms, I've always when I read this, they openly confront passages like, and I've got them listed on the second paragraph in the bottom page 2, and that is, for this is good and acceptable for God our Savior, who desires that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's just a desirous will. It's not a determinative, but it's just a desirous. They don't always make a distinction there. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to jump down to 2:6. Who gave himself a ransom, that is anelutrosis, for all. And then 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. So you have an all there. Yeah, I should have told everybody, I'm going to be in your way if you're not in the line of sight for the screen. I can't do this without having my paper in that matter. And so there's that interesting focus. Then in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace, the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, did you catch the difference? You had all, and now we have every. Did you see what the difference was? Plural versus singular. Every singular, all plural. And so there's where we, that's why every and all are that way. They're not the same term. I think we've already touched the edges, but I want to hit it again because I have enjoyed teaching this for so many years when it comes to Thanksgiving. I'd like to know how many times I've used this set of verses at Thanksgiving time, because when we relate to it, Thanksgiving is that communication of a believer that marks your spirituality. Ephesians 5:18 is before Ephesians 5:20. 5:18 says, be filled by the Spirit. Stop being drunk with wine wherein is unsavingness, but be filled by the Spirit. And so then you go on and you have these participles that come back to your main verb, which is be filled, which is one of the passives. And so it's interesting when you think of Thanksgiving. And I'm not going to read the verses now. They're going to be included a little bit later. But we're to be thankful at all times. That's a password. No, that was a new one. Okay, for all things, at all times, for all things, Ephesians 5:20. In everything. We're to be thankful in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And for all men. I know it's kind of hard, isn't it? If we had to do these things and all, not people that aren't spiritual or carnal people, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be thankful at all times, for all things, in everything, and for all men. And what I just covered is what is on the bottom of page 2. On that, so you can see where we're at. Now, I'm going to be scampering through some of these things because they're here. I wrote it so you could read it. And I think it will be of value. We do that all the time. But I want to talk about my purpose on the first full paragraph in 3. The purpose of this paper is to emphasize the importance of pus for the Christian's present tense salvation. Now, you see what that's done? That's taken away from me. I've narrowed it down to just grace revelation. John 13 to Revelation 3. That's the primary areas where we are. And so we're going to be working on some of that that relates to present tense salvation. And not past, though I've touched a few past. You know, we've got some of my... I wanted to let you get blessed by this rather than just be reminded of something that is a past tense blessing. And we're going to work that more tomorrow than today. And I've already mentioned Ephesians 1:3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And I translate that. And so each believer has all spiritual blessings. The thing is, you don't have to be saved 40 years in order to have all spiritual blessings. You don't have to be somebody that's been in the church for 40 years. You don't have to be somebody that's been saved any length of time. The minute that someone believes the gospel and God saves them, they have all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. So remember when you got saved? You got them all then. You still have them. You always have had them. And you will into the eternal future. And so we can be reminded of that. Now I'm going down to letter A. The word pos specifically identifies what is all inclusive. Probably you should put an what in between. Or that which, however you want it after, identifies, is all-inclusive and has the idea of totality in its normal meaning and use. It is either its use as an adverb or as a noun. Its normal emphasis is on, I should have said adjective, which it's affected as an adverb. It involves totality of any object, mass, or collective. And I've been putting notes in, footnotes, most of them are lexically or grammatical notes, and I won't normally refer to them. And so when there is an all, and God uses all, there is absolutely no room for addition or subtraction. If the term is used of a single entity, it refers to the whole of that entity. When it refers to individuals in a class, it is inclusive. That means everyone is involved, and the noun, and if it's an adjective, that noun that it modifies in whatever form is going to be all, and we're going to be looking at that as we relate. Now we have a little problem with confusion with all. All is spelled P-A-S, and I was doing a little drill as we were beginning early. See, on the cover, you can see, remember math? If you haven't had any Greek and you've had any math at all in high school, you'll understand pi. Because that's the Greek letter pi. It's the P. And so P, A, and alpha, you can understand. The S on the end looks like an S, but it's what we call a final sigma, and it is an S sound. So it's pass. But when we look at this as it is, we see pass as normal, but then we also see pan. And that creates an interesting thing, because remember I said Pan-Hellenic Games, Pan-American. You see, and those are pans, not passes. Could be pass-American. No, that doesn't happen to work that way. There's a reason, because it's the kind of word it goes with. And so there's this problem as to where in the world did this thing come from? And I know many believers who don't understand the language think that these two prefixes are from different roots. And they aren't. It's the same root. And so that's where, I mean, there's confusion. And they just don't look alike. I mean, you got the wrong third letter. That's not half bad when we look at what it does in the text. Because in the text, when you have compounds, then we have some interesting issues that occur. And so these tend to overlap in this matter. Now, it's an adjective. Now, this is a nickel's worth of grammar, so panic not. And that is, we're going to talk about how an adjective works a little bit in Greek. Adjective modifies a noun. This one can become a substantive or a noun. But normally, and I'm doing this because you need to know this, in order to know why where we're going. Adjectives have gender. In Greek, you have masculine, feminine, and neuter. So you have neuter forms. Things or fangs are neutered, and that there's number, obviously singular and plural. So all of a sudden you start adding these things up. You have three genders. You have two numbers, and that. And so as we're going to be seeing that this is why there's so much confusion in the matter. It becomes very complex. In fact, it's so complex under letter C, I made a little note on lexical definitions. I've got footnotes here that will help you, but these are lexicons or tools. And so what happens, and let me just touch them real quick, Artin Gingrich has 2.5 large pages. Those who have Artin Gingrich, they're big volumes. I think they're 8.5 by 11. And so you got that much space written on just this word pos. Henry Thayer has the same. 2.5 pages, they're not as large. But the print's finer. Kittle's Theological Dictionary has 10.5 pages. Kittle's tends to do that on it. They must have sold a lot of Kittle's at CBD because they had them on sale for $99 about 3-4 months ago. Now they're going for $129, so they must have lightened their stock up. There's got to be a replacement in the hopper, and I haven't heard about it on it. But that's just big set for those who don't know what we're talking about. Grammars have very limited sections. It was really funny to work the grammars. I don't know how many grammars I went through and to hustle this. But you know, they knew it was important. How do I know? Because it's amazing how many beginning grammars have the paradigm for pos. Summers does. It's in the analytical. It's in Robertson's Shorter Greek Grammar. There are a couple of others I saw. I think I may have made a reference to it in here. Now, let's see. Under D, I did this. The thing is, I've done D. It looks like my paper is really long. It's not as long as it looks if I go fast enough. Because I've got a chart with this material on it, so which books and how many are in each book. And I do that because it gives you some idea of the fun of it all. When I was led to go in this direction, I was right at the end of a big sick. I was sick for 5 weeks, and God got me through the weeks. I got everything I had to do done, but I couldn't do any more. I couldn't prep for a forum. I was just weak as a pussy. Kitten. And I was really having a lot of difficulties. I mean, I'd get through classes, missed a half an hour to go to the doctor in 5 weeks. And that was the grace of God. And I would come out and I'd say, do I want to eat lunch? And I'd say, no, I better sit down a minute. And then I'll be ready to eat lunch. And then I'd wake up at 6 o'clock at night or whatever. And I was really sick. But it was interesting when I was looked at these words and determined this subject, how I thought, you know, I've done quite a bit of work on this in other cases. And I went and looked at my computer and my files to see where I was with this. And I found out that in the last few years, every time that I was doing a book, I had a set of notes on POS for the occurrences in that book. And I knew I had done messages on that word in an expository series. And so I had 1st and 2nd Peter. I had Colossians. In fact, I handed out a sheet when I did the Colossians seminar at one of the forums. And so I've done lots of them. I had another one. Which one was it? Ephesians, Colossians? Anyway, the Thessalonians. There are certain things I like to do when I teach a book, and I just pull key words. Another thing, this is for the guys. Another thing that is fun, and Matt's gone. I can't pick on him. Matt preached up in Monroe Sunday, Monroe, Washington, and went up. Sounded like he had a great time up there filling in for Luther. Remember, I don't know whether Luther's on or not, but they're in Russia right now, and he's over there trying to get some things squared away so that they can end the tie. Her mom has moved over here, and they had to sell her apartment in Voronezh. And so that's why Matt was up there. But you know, it's kind of funny. He came and asked me if he could, if I would print some notes for him so he could copy them. That was good. He didn't ask me to print them all. But anyway, and they were notes, what was it, on 2nd Peter or 1st Peter? And what it is, was what you, if you didn't have that book, what wouldn't you have revelation-wise as a believer? I mean, what you'd lose if you lost the book? We did a forum probably 20 years ago. I was trying to figure it out. I didn't date some of that material. And what we did was went through the books that the hyper-dispensationalists discard. You know, the general epistles? And that kind of, and those verses, you know, you've got the hypers believe that prison epistles of Paul's are the only epistles that are for practice. And so if you discard, you know, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, obviously James was one they would love to get rid of, and parts of, Revelation, all of a sudden, what would you lose if you lost those? And we had a good time because we did some grocery listing and kind of did a, you know, everybody was plugging in to think through that. And if you do that with books, it's interesting. It will help you teach them. And that's what Matt did. He got the list so that he could share it up there and say, you know, if you didn't have this book, you would not be able to teach these areas. And it's interesting, the Petrines, you would not have adequate information on the priesthood of the believer. You know, you wouldn't know those sacrifices were spiritual. You'd have to assume so. If you toss Hebrews out, you would have three sacrifices that were not existent, and you'd have three of them that were existent. And so anyway, that's on the side with this. And so, where am I? There I am. So we were in the coon tents section on D, and yeah, I finally picked that typo out. In fact, I just picked it out earlier today when I was skimming my start on it. So let me get my buttons working here. 1,243 occurrences, all 27 books. It's interesting. There are not a huge number of words in the New Testament that occur in every book of the New Testament. You know, Jude and 2nd and 3rd John are so short, there are a lot of words that don't occur in them. This one does, and it's important. And that's an average, and this I know is not accurate statistics, but 46 occurrence in every book, at least. I mean, that's an average. And we'll see that a little later when we relate to it. Okay, there are two main forms, and I'm on the bottom of the page on the way over to page 5. You have pos, and you have apos. Apos, I'm going to do it here, and then I'll skip it. We're not going to work it. It doesn't occur a huge number of times. I have notes in here on how many times it occurs, 34 times. There are textual problems which affect it. And that note's in this bottom paragraph, but I'm going to leave it in this matter. It's translated by the same words as pas, but you have an alpha in front of it. So you have that in front of it, and what do you think when you see an alpha, guys? Alpha privative. That is, alpha privative is to say no. When you put an alpha in front of most forms, it negates it. And in this case, it doesn't. This probably comes a circuitous route from some classical Greek, and it's an identical meaning. And so I just wanted to point that out. It is odd. I mean, I'm so used to seeing alpha privatives, and I come to this one, and I say, oh, no. How did it? Not all. That's not what it means. And so that becomes key. Now, we have some adverbs that come from pos. We're going to get into them a little later. And that is adverbs, modify verb. They can be translated always, at all times, by all means, anywhere, everywhere, every place, from all sides, from every side, in every way. And it all comes from pi, alpha, sigma. But there's also with noon in the end. And so we've got that collection. Now, you could do a paper on those adverbs if you wanted sometime. I've given you enough information in here that will help you when we get into this. And that's such a blessing. That's why this section on Thanksgiving is fun, because we've got one of these adverbs. That makes a big difference as we relate to it in that matter. Now I've got to find out where I am in my notes. Okay. 11. There I am. I just finished letter F at the bottom of page 5. for what I wanted to do. I told you I have to scamper. Now, on pages 6 and... Okay, I'm sorry. I have to look. I have all of these things in another section, but in more detail. These are the adverbs beginning on 6. Pantate, always. At all times. There are 38 verses, and they are absolute loads. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always. You know what he's saying? Be spiritual always so you have the fruit of the Spirit to direct. That's my translation in that matter. And that's what he's saying. The poor you will always have with you, but me you will not always have. I'm up on that first one in 6. It's interesting, some people don't realize that our Lord actually said that. That's really interesting because a realist looking at society comes to that same conclusion. Because the poor you always have with you. Look how many poor people won lotteries. And how long ago before now? I mean, back when I remember reading the stories of some who were in the poorhouse. In no time at all. Because they had this characteristic within them. They didn't know how to manage money. And it cost them everything. And, you know, they needed to see Craig. He would have helped them out. In that matter. Pantos is an adverb of extent, by all means. And it's translated all together in 1 Corinthians 9:10. Or saith he it all together for our sakes. And I'm just stopping there. You have pantake, which doesn't occur real often. I didn't put counts in here because they're later. But we'll touch these. There's a textual problem as to whether it belongs there. But you can kind of tag down through down to number 7. The only thing I didn't cover in here was one other adjective. It occurs once, and it didn't fit in my outline, so I didn't include it. That's not really normal for me in that. But I want these adverbs. Isn't it funny you can preach and teach a part of speech? Let's see if I can do that again. Preach and teach a part of speech. And you can do it. And it's beneficial to saints. That's what I'm trying to do. A part of speech so that whenever you see all or every, you're going to say, did God mean all or every, or did he put an exemption to it? No. And so we're going to work that. Okay. The challenge of understanding it in its relationship to context, that becomes very important. I try to simplify sometimes, and that's simple. Context. When you see pos as a word, or every or all, you have to put it in the context box. That is, this box is what's around it, it surrounds it. That word is governed by context. I mean, when you use all and you say all the chickens in the chicken coop are sick, it doesn't mean the whole farm is sick. Because they're in the chicken coop in context. And so we have to be very careful to let Scripture establish the context in which it's found. Now when he says all men, that means all men, no women. Everybody's asleep. Now we recognize that anthropos is being used not generically, but it's used of the race. And so when it says all men, the context is in, and you look at it very carefully, I trust. And so this is a simple diagram of you can put anything in Scripture in the box. You see any word, put it in the box. And we've been kind of, it's not a joke, it's that important. But we see there are 3 rules of hermeneutics. Context and context. That's the box. And so, box your subject. Find out what it says around it. I've often said, and I learned it in my first pastorate, that context can make you look really smart. And that is, I had people come to the door. You know, I'm not reading the whole Bible every day. I'm reading pieces of it. There are some sections of Scripture I haven't been in for some months. And they ask me a question about a verse, and they expect me to know. But when they come to the door with their Bible, what was this? I'm sitting there reading context. I don't remember. And I said, well, what about this? You know, I pick it out of context. And man, that guy knows what he's talking about. You know, I just pointed to context. So don't forget context. If you want to look smart, learn how to use context on it. Now, I'm being facetious, of course, but it's really true. You can gain an advantage by being aware of context. And using context is very, very important. And so when you use POS, it establishes the parameters. And so if all the chickens in the chicken coop are sick, it doesn't mean the farm is sick. But then it's limited to the all. That means every one of them. I almost brought one of them for lunch today. I came over the hill up here. There's this chicken sitting in the middle of the road. And I had to swerve to avoid him, so we missed more chicken in the soup, in that matter. And that. And so this diagram, I think, will help you. And let's take a look at my example in Mark 6. And the feeding of the 5,000 all occurs there in that context. I'm right underneath that diagram in your notes. I put them in. Your note diagram is better than the one I have on the screen. It's cleaner. And it says, there were representatives of all the cities around the Sea of Galilee, saw him leave, and they followed him on foot. And then it goes on, they had not eaten. He commanded them to make all, everybody who showed up, sit down by companies. And these were people that came from the cities and Sea of Galilee around there. And they had them sit down on the green grass. I'm glad it wasn't brown. It was fresh that way, as you just said. And they sat down in ranks by the hundreds and by the fifties. And when he had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes he divided among them all. See, the context is telling you these are, I mean, before they are these people who followed him, and they were able to feed all of them. Next verse. And they did all eat and were filled. See, all makes a difference. I mean, it was that group. It wasn't the people that were in the cities. These are the ones that came out of the cities. So all means all. And so they were all satisfied. I liked our lunch better. Didn't you? All of it. Now you have to be careful with that all. there's a difference there, you know? Difference between a glutton and not. Okay, all with a singular and all with plurals make a difference. And I've got another diagram, and you have it on the next page, on page 9. And there's the diagram. And so what the diagram does is that then we translated every single individual in the all. So you may be that one, and you're part of the all. I like to some of the alls that relate to our relationship in Christ, where he uses a singular, not real often, usually it's plural. And so, I mean, I'm part of the all. And you think about it, and I'm in the boundaries, you're in the boundaries, and it changes your perspective on things. So, each individual part within the whole. So it's every single one. Every single one. Now, on the other hand, if you have a plural, you'll translate it all more often than not. And so you're a part of it. Now that my cover is designed kind of to follow this idea, just so you can kind of see the backdrop. Bouncing in the boundaries. Staying in the boundaries in this matter. So all is there. Did I set off an alarm up here? That would be funny if it did. Anyway, everything in the parameters of that, everybody's peeking out the window. I didn't know that you could hear. I mean, could see. Oh, I guess the lights go on, don't they, sometimes? Okay, it's gone. We won't ask for confession. Okay. Whoops, wrong button. Okay. Everything in the parameters are descriptive boundaries. All fits in that boundary. And so think in these terms when you see all, and that these boundaries are determined by context. And that's what I'm trying to say with this, in this matter. And so when we understand all and we are in the parameters, I mean, we're in Christ and we're in those boundaries, every one of us is part of the all. Nobody's left out. And again, to me, I'm just always fascinated when I mean, being in the church as a kid, we didn't always think like George Orwell did. Came close, though. In Animal Farm, he said, all animals are created equal, but some are more equal than others. And in Christ, sometimes I think we may have had a little bit of that philosophy. Because there were people that came in, and I have too many stories I can tell about the different kinds of people that show up at church. You know, and I still think of one guy in particular. He didn't come all the time. He was a noisy guy. He loved to hear my dad preach when he came. He always came in this heavy overcoat. And I don't think he had bathed for 6 months. And the overcoat didn't help any. And then what would happen, he had this loud, booming voice. And my dad would hit a point, and the whole building would almost shake. And nobody would sit near him. And you can tell why. I mean, it was really interesting. It was hard to be close to somebody that hadn't taken a bath for a long, long time. And that overcoat probably had never seen water outside of rain. No, up there was snow, too, on it. And so when we're all, everybody that's a believer, when you realize that, and you start thinking about different people you've known in the church, think of the one you thought the less of when you knew they were a believer. They were offensive, or there were certain characteristics that just rubbed against you. That's not Christ. That's not being in Christ. But that's what happens. Till you mature a little bit, you don't see everybody as equal. Don't see everybody as oneness in Christ. And you look at that and then you see the all, and that includes them. But you know, it's interesting. They can look and see that you are also in the all. And be reminded of that. That is such a blessed opportunity and blessed privilege. Okay. I'm on page 10. The fact. All or nothing. All or part. All or some. Nope. None of them. All is all. I've got those headers right on down on the first three there. But all is always all. If you take anything away from it, it's not all. If you add to it, it's not all. So we have to recognize when we read Scripture, all means all. And especially when God said it. And don't forget, when it's talking about those who are in Christ, that you're part of it. You know, I really think it'd be fun just to, well, I've got enough of a list in here to give you some things to think about. Go home and take a month and take one of those verses and think of you're part of that all. They're here. And you think about it and you start realizing God has done so much for you and made so much provisions. You're crazy not to be passive in these things. And so that is tremendously important. We talked a little bit about translations, some concepts. On page 11, this was the end of my introduction. First full paragraph, we learn a great deal about God when we study the use of all and our pos related to the Godhead in their work. 1 Corinthians 8:6 relates to God the Father and the Son. And what I've done in your notes, I notice my highlights don't highlight well. This must be my printer. So I made highlights in purple on this one. So you can see it, and that's what's there. Now, in there, I can't put boxes around. I don't know how to do it in PowerPoint. But to us, there is but one God and the Father, out of whom are all things. Now, when I said out of whom, I was going over here. That's an ek. That's a preposition. Out of whom are all things. Could you guess what the gender is in that? You're right, it's neuter. All things in that matter. And we in him. And see, oops, there's an ice, that's the end to him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. Now there's a difference between the out of whom and the by whom. Now that this little delta with the iota is a shortened form of dia, thanks to this Omicron here, but that's through the agency of whom are all things. All things. So when you think of that, and there again you can tell these happen to match by form. And so it says the all things, and we through the agency of him. This one is the same as here. Now I've got a lot of that boxed in your notes so you can kind of follow it. And you think about that. Are you ready to sing our stanza of Amazing Grace? Then we'll move on. You kind of get that way, don't you, when you look at these things? It's really amazing. And that's our God and what he's done. Something to think about. The importance of pause. Something to get in your head so you think about it. That says all or every. I'm a part of that, all or every. And you can see what that will do to your thinking on it. You know, I'm almost at a point sometimes now when I am reading along, I want to stop and meditate. And just think about, I don't finish the verse sometimes because I'm another all, great, what is it that I need to remember here? And it's just awesome when we do it right. And so it's, I mean, something to think about. And that leads me in to where we're going. I was afraid green wouldn't work very good. Okay, this is my outline. I did not put an outline or an index. My brother put numbers in his outline and put it in the front on it. And so, but I didn't do that. We're going to look at the data concerning the occurrences and forms of POS, the demonstration of the linguistic forms with which POS occurs, the details of these linguistic structures in the text of the New Testament, the delineation of the uses of POS in the upper room discourse. Now, that's a lot of stuff. But we'll be able to move right along, I think, because the paper is longer because it has both the English text and it has the Greek text in it, so I can use the pointer and help you out with it. Now, we're going to go to some other interesting areas, too. And these... we're going to look at the doubling of the word pos. Well, there's a verse that has four identical forms in one verse of pos. It's in your notes, and we'll look at it. The derivatives of adverbs. Here I want to take a minute to... Oops, get the right button. I don't want to set off anybody's alarm. I don't know which button I hit. If I see anybody asleep, I'm going to hit that button. The derivatives of the adverbs... Then the discussion of whosoever will problem in POS. You didn't think you were going to hear anything about whosoever will, did you? You realize that POS is essential for some of those key passages? And it doesn't say it's an invitation. There's a verse I kind of remember. I think I learned it as a kid. You're right. Yeah, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him is where I want to go. Whosoever, it doesn't say whosoever, there's no invitation. What it actually says, the ones who are believing in him will not perish. That's what it actually says. The ones, I shouldn't say the ones, the all. Whoops, get the right button. And that's pos. You have that. I just wanted to do, the whole paper could go on that. It would make people mad. Because God wrote it that way and they didn't like it. So they're going to make it mean something beside what it says. And so that problem with whosoever will, and then some compound forms. I guess I've got another one up here, don't I? And then the promises related to present tense salvation. I'm going to try to scamper so that we can spend most of that last hour tomorrow going through those. I look forward to that. Because tomorrow we'll look at present tense salvation. And then we're going to sit down up here at the Lordian table and we're going to share communion together. And that tells you a whole lot about POS. Because that's what it's all. I mean, it's all. I mean, we all have it. We can all share as believers at the Lordian table. And that will be a lot of fun when we understand it in that matter. So that's my outline. 9 points. You don't think I'm going to get there? I don't know if I'm going to get there or not. I guess we need a break. Let me get there. Okay, let's break. We'll come back and stretch. Do whatever you need to do. Question is there.